Hi everyone, I'm Adam Wiener with the UroOnc Minute. These are brief insights from the experts in urologic oncology. And we're continuing our series. We're at EAU Congress 2026 here in London. And I'm very happy to introduce our next interviewer. We got Casey Viswanathan. He's joining us from UCLH Cleveland Clinic, London. Very excited to have you on the show. Very important topic for urologists all over the world. We're going to get into biparametric versus multiparametric MRI for the detection of clinically significant prostate cancer. First off, thank you for coming on the show.
Pleasure to be here as always.
Thank you so much. So why don't we just dive right into it? We learned a lot in the past year, a lot from your group, a lot from other groups. Why don't you tell us what we know?
So the big challenge and the reason why we did the PRIME study was not everyone who needed an MRI scan was getting one. We have data from the US saying around one third of patients who need a scan are actually getting one. And the problem is the multiparametric MRI, which has been the standard of care, takes around 30 to 40 minutes. It requires a contrast injection. And that means you need to have a medical profession like a doctor present. You need to give a contrast injection containing gadolinium. And all of those factors mean resource is limited and you can't get a scan to every man who needs one. So we wanted to change that. So we ran a study called PRIME, which was an international multi-center level one evidence study comparing biparametric MRI, which is without the contrast injection, to multiparametric MRI with the contrast injection. And what we showed was is that the shortened, more streamlined 50 to 20 minute scan without the contrast injection, the biparametric MRI, was non-inferior, so very similar in cancer detection rates to the full multiparametric MRI version. The second thing we looked at was whether or not if you drop the contrast, does that affect your treatment decision-making? And it did so in around the minority of cases, around 5%. So overall, the findings of that study convinced us that biparametric MRI, and the caveat is in the presence of high-quality scans, the expert radiologists should be the new standard of care for prostate cancer diagnosis.
Incredible. And I just have to tip my hat to you and your group for, you know, investigating and putting the time and the resources, because it's a valid question. And I think any of these questions really that de-escalate isn't the perfect word for this, because of course it's not a treatment of and not that we associate toxicity, but de-escalating the technology and the resources and finding that you're not really making much of a sacrifice, it's huge. It's massive for the US. I'm sure it is for the UK as well.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing is patients really want this. When we speak to the patient groups, if you tell them you don't need an injection, that's a big deal. You can tell them they need to be in the scanner for half a time. That's a big deal. When you talk about gadolinium and gadolinium deposition, we think gadolinium is safe, but we do know in autopsy studies it's deposited in the basal ganglia. So when you have repeated MRI scans, as is the case in prostate cancer at the moment, when you tell a patient that that's happening and there's a chance of you avoiding that, many patients will opt to have contrast. So I think from a patient point of view, it's really important too.
Absolutely. And I won't speak to the status in the UK, but I could tell you in the US that one of the struggles with booking your prostate biopsies or assessing for prostate cancer is the timing. And we have in my center, our MRIs are running 24/7, so people can get them in the middle of the night if needed. And so as soon as your study was published, our institution changed such that it was possible for us to order the biparametric. And I can tell you, patients love it. We're all benefiting from that. How many people subsequently have to get multiparametric afterwards if they do have to do a treatment plan? What did you find?
Yeah, so in the study, everyone got both. So they had the contrast of the biparametric, and the way it was read, it was a blinded fashion. That's how we determined the value of each. So what we found, we could, at central multidisciplinary team meeting, we reviewed the scans without the contrast and made treatment decision making. We also decided how we would give each treatment, for example, for prostatectomy, whether it would be nerve sparing, a focal therapy, what type of energy, and whether it was feasible. And we then unblinded ourselves to the contrast and made the same decisions. And we then evaluated the value of the contrast in that process. And it was around 5% of patients where it made a difference. And for me, the areas that you could tell when a patient would benefit were quite predictable. So for example, when you have a tumor which is very close to the sphincter, and you make a decision, is this patient suitable for focal therapy? That's a patient in my home flips from some contrast. But on the whole, for all comers, it doesn't really give out one.
It seems to be the case. I know that at least in radiation oncology, there are more of a limitation of a flame-like protocol where they want to treat the the dominant intraprostatic lesion. But it even seems like then that might not be totally necessary. I think probably more to come, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So how, if you're a practicing urologist somewhere outside of the major cities in the UK or maybe elsewhere in the United States, what are the conversations you think those people should be having with their radiation colleagues or their radiology colleagues?
Yeah, so the first thing is to understand how good their MRI quality is. So there are standardized scoring systems like the PIPAR 2 scoring system, where you can evaluate, are your scans up to standard by international PIRADS 2.1 guidelines? If the answer is yes, and your radiologists are experienced in looking at MRI, I think you then have justification to say, let's change to biparametric MRI. And I think the emerging data from the systematic review of meta-analysis, which was published a few months ago by the Avirano Diaz group, which I was involved in, showed us that even outside of that high quality randomized or level one evidence study, and many other centers doing biparametric compared to multiparametric showed exactly the same results. So that told me these results are more generalizable, even to studies where the MRI quality may not be as high. But for the time being, the level one evidence is focused on the high quality scans, so we should make our recommendations in that setting. And then we can see what happens when we're trying the real world with more studies.
Absolutely. So on that token, one thing that I love to lead this show with is a little bit about what the future has in store for us. So tell us, what's your group got going on? What are the questions you're trying to answer now?
Yeah, so my vision was that every man who needs an MRI would be able to get one, and not just get an MRI, but a high quality read. So the next big study is a 500 patient study called Parabine. That's an international level one evidence multi-center study looking at the role of AI in prostate cancer detection. So, and we'll have about 20 to 25 centers around the world taking part. We'll be evaluating AI algorithm prospectively in biopsy decision-making and lesion identification. We'll be biopsying any lesions identified by the AI and also by a radiologist. And we'll be able to tell you whether AI is non-inferior to a radiologist in significant cancer detection. And that trial is going through the quality control phase. We'd have about 70 centers take a part at the moment, and we'll be open to open the trial in Q1 next year. So pray that yourself.
Wonderful. And obviously the implications there are if you can scale some sort of AI reader or interpreter of these images, I mean, that brings high quality reads, high quality cancer detection to the masses, really. Well, wonderful for having you. I think this was a great conversation. A quick format. I hope you're okay with that, but it really benefits to our audience. So thank you for being on the show. Really appreciate having you.
Pleasure.